with political and sexual double dealing.
Hello and good morning. Have an exclusive interview today with Jennifer Caird, centre of today's press revelations about her affair with Duncan Matlock, Minister for the Family. Pretty torrid stuff to read over the breakfast table, eh, Jennifer?
They print whatever comes into their heads, don't they?
Are you saying the substance of the story isn't true?
Print anything out of context and it loses its veracity, don't you think? Well, the reference, for example, to Mr. Matlock's sexual preferences, that he likes a woman to dominate him in bed. I mean, this was a direct quote from you, was it not? To a close friend.
Successful men often like to be disempowered in the sexual act. There's nothing new in that. Particularly if their wives are passive or sexually unadventurous.
Minnie Driver is the mistress of a cabinet minister in the 1995 Channel 4 drama The Politician's Wife, which won both BAFTA and Emmy Awards. In that series, the politician and his wife separate after she takes revenge by destroying his career. But after 18 years, the drama itself has now become a couple. Author Paula Milne has written The Politician's Husband, with David Tennant as a cabinet minister who resigns on a point of principle, fails to destabilise the Prime Minister as he hopes, and then finds that his wife, an MP played by Emily Watson, has now got his job. But she comes home to discover that his ambition is undiminished.
You publicly challenge a crucial part of his manifesto. You challenge both his authority and his credibility. Coups have been sparked by less.
It's a long shot, at best.
Still a shot.
Well, that'll just open the way for Bruce and the leadership.
It'll open the way for a leadership contest between us.
And he'll have the inside track with all the heavyweights in the cabinet.
And I'll have you on the inside tracking him.
A scene from Paula Milne's The Politician's Husband, a three-parter starting on BBC Two tonight. The David Tennant character comes to fear that he may end up living in Number 10 in a more subservient role than he planned. In its presentation of leadership rivalry between husband and wife, the series imagines a dilemma that may yet arise between Ed Balls and Yvette Cooper, Labour's married shadow cabinet members. But we went for a verdict from another two-politician household, Sir Peter Bottomley MP, who held three ministerial positions in the Thatcher administrations, and Baroness Bottomley, who is Virginia Bottomley, was John Major's Secretary of State for Health and then for Heritage. Did she find the depiction of public and private pressures in The Politician's Husband plausible?
Like us, that I was sort of stunned and mesmerised. And I suppose it was the sort of intensity, particularly of Aidan's ambition, which was sort of so much something I don't recognise, say, in Peter. And if you were that ambitious, would you really want your wife to be in the same job? I don't know. But they seem to be very narrow, very political, 24 hours a day. And I think the best politicians have got more of a hinterland and sort of better balanced personalities.
And so, Peter, in an incredibly loose way, they're drawing on, I think, fantasies that some people have about Ed Balls and Yvette Cooper. If you had two powerful politicians who were both perhaps going for the leadership together, and bits of Michael Portillo in there as well, people setting up phone lines for leadership bids. So there are real stories or half stories behind this.
It's quite funny that when the Michael Portillo leadership bid didn't happen, I think I was the person who spotted the BT engineers down the far end of Lord North Street, Great Peter Street, and asked them what they were doing. And that led to one or two things not remaining secret, not they were necessarily worth secret in the first place. Leadership elections can be fantastic and fantastically good fun. And we went through a number. There was one time when Virginia was summoned to meet somebody, and when she joined the team, she said, yes, but who are we supporting? So a lot of politics is about trust and the people you want to be with. Although when John Major got chosen, Virginia said to him, she got in the neck from her constituents not voting for him, but as he knew she had voted for Douglas Hurd. And John Major said, don't mind at all, I would have voted for Douglas Hurd if I'd been free to do so, which is the pleasant side of competition.
And we have all that. There's an astonishing amount of sex in this series, isn't there? It's used as a metaphor for the power between the some very, very brutal scenes in which the husband, who's been disappointed in politics, imposes his power on his wife in a very brutal way.
I do have your delicacy.
It's very, it is very brutal in that way.
It's a bit torrid. Mm. The thing I used to feel so strongly, I used to work incredibly hard, so 25 hours a day, I felt like, and 8 days a week. And then you were always discovering that all these MPs were having affairs. And I thought, how do they find the time? You know, chance would be a fine thing. I've got no time to do anything except get on with my boxes and sort of see my children and sort of speak to the far-flung, you know, wine and cheese party somewhere.
We had the advantage that we've tried to make our domestic arrangements such that we live very close to Westminster. So home and work are very close together. I think most of the time our children actually understood that. If if I can tell one brief story, when Virginia was very prominent as health secretary, a patient said to our doctor daughter, it says Dr. Bottomley, you're in relation to that Virginia Bottomley, the health secretary. And our daughter looked her in the eye and said, very convincingly, do you know, my mother keeps trying to convince me this is the closest connection.
I suppose the other aspect in terms of parliamentary life was, I think we both went into politics wanting to do things, all sorts of projects, schemes, want to change the world and campaign for this. And it was sort of so depressing that when Aidan's sort of leadership aspirations had gone, he didn't say, right, now I can get on and sort of campaign for all sorts of things I really want to. You saw him in his surgery looking terribly bored and depressed. And that is very far flung. Most of us feel, you know, there's a great portfolio of projects you want. When you're being a minister or have responsibilities, you're confined. But when you're a backbencher, you're a free spirit, and that you really didn't get that sense at all.
Really, you see, it's anyone who's followed politics a bit knows that there are these stories of people being Secretary of State, and then they have to go back and deal with paving stones. That's why some of them give up their seats so quickly in Parliament, isn't it?
For some people, once they've been a minister, they do have executive responsibility, and your inbox becomes your outbox, and that was definitely my case. So having been through quite a number of ministerial positions, being in opposition to me was soul-destroying. Mm. If I'd never been in government, to be in opposition first might be quite fun, but to be negative when my nature is to be positive, and also to sort of make decisions. So one of the reasons I left Parliament was thinking, well, we need a new...
House of Commons, you need the House of Lords.
Well, I left the House of Commons. But we do need a new crop of people who come in with that enthusiasm and sort of open mind.
But I thought David Tennant in the drama, I thought he got that shock of being out of power very well. Paula Milne, there's a new series for her here. You could have the husband who's a backbencher still, perhaps knighted. He's trying to get some big campaign through, and then it's blocked in the House of Lords by his wife, who inconveniently is now a baroness.
Well, we did always have one rule, which basically Peter and I are completely different people, so we have different temperaments and different approaches. But there's always been a slight, keep your tanks off my grass, so that, you know, when either of us was doing a particular area, then I think on the whole, the other one didn't make that their favourite subject as well.
We did launch one media career, or adaptive media career. Matthew Paris was up in the gallery of the House of Commons when I was roads minister and she was involved with the environment. So she had national parks and I had roads. And a middle chapter in his book is called In Bed with the Bottomleys. And he had a fantasy about me trying to build a motorway through her national park.
But it's certainly not of the same torrid nature as we had in this programme.
I thought that was very well done here. But Paula Milne, very good scriptwriter. I thought that was clever in plot terms, that she goes into exactly the job that he had and therefore they have the same driver and all of that. It's interesting you say keep the tanks off. She set it up dramatically that very well for conflict because they're in the same area.
This profound point about the play, which is really well written, is that it was asking for trouble. I mean, it did seem to show a lack of insight as to what makes marriages work and what makes careers work. And so even if you were walking into your best friend's job, that would be tricky. And certainly in my case, you know, when I was given some options at reshuffle time, I sort of knew there were some places that were wiser to go than others.
Was there an attempt to keep you out of the same department? Because that would have been very tricky.
Well,
I
was offered transport at one stage, right. And I said, I don't want to do that. That's been Peter's area.
Right. And, Virginia was going down a corridor at a party conference in Blackpool, and Willie Whitelaw, who was then the Deputy Prime Minister, came out of his room. Virginia moved him into a corner and said, is it true? And Willie said, probably, but what? Had you said the two of us couldn't be in government together? I probably did, he said, but by that time Margaret Thatcher made Virginia a minister as well.
On the whole, you can't both be in the front seat at the same time. And if you are in those very prominent roles, you quite need a supportive spouse. So I really needed Peter's help when I was in the front line.
Although one of the things Paula Milne is saying, I think, which is quite provocative and interesting, is that it's harder for the man to be the supportive partner, that people don't know what to do with the man still in politics. You were nodding there, Baroness.
Well, very much. Well, of course, we've just, you know, been all talking about Dennis Thatcher, who was wonderful. But I think Peter sort of understood this a bit because his parents were in the diplomatic service. So his father led the career around the world. And his mother, who was a very intelligent woman, went to London School of Economics, but she had to play the supportive spouse. You know, she always felt she had a career in her that she would like to have indulged. And I think Peter had a sort of comfort about the whole thing.
The truth is, my mother actually encouraged Virginia when Margaret Thatcher wanted some more good women to come into Parliament, and Virginia was one of the people suggested. My mother encouraged that because Virginia could have the career my mother couldn't have had outside the home. I founded the Danish Thatcher Society. It's for those of us married to women more important than we are. And if you were to ask, we've never met because our wives wouldn't let us.
In terms of other political dramas, some people have said it's a British Borgen. In fact, it's most like, isn't it, House of Cards, because it has that rather Shakespearean Jacobean thing. There are whole scenes that are lifted from Macbeth and Othello of sexual jealousy of power couples.
I think it'd be very good for teaching people in academies and colleges and schools about how you construct plays. You can use common themes or approaches over the centuries. I kept thinking about the Penelope Keith series called No Job for a Lady, I think it was called, where she came to the House of Commons as a Labour MP, I think, not that matters terribly. Except that had humour as well as serious bits. When she came, before the thing was being made to the House of Commons, Virginia took her around and took her to the cafeteria, and as Penelope went to take her tea or coffee, the cashier said, oh, this is after Glenda Jackson came in, I do hope she's not coming here. She's a very good actress.
But maybe it's just a sort of tragedy that these two end up in the same career. But anybody advising this pair with these personalities would say, look, one of you go into broadcasting, perhaps, and one of you go into politics. Or maybe they would be close, but they shouldn't have been in the same boat.
You could make the play about the spouse who or partner who is in broadcasting and the one who is in politics. Or you could have, like, the Straws, where one's a senior civil servant and the other's a cabinet minister.
That's tricky.
And there are ways of doing it which could get... I'm not saying it would be better than this. I think this is really good. I just wish there were one or two more lines.
We've given Paula Milne three more series. I think she should do the one about the backbencher and the wife as a baroness personally. And finally, it strikes me as interesting, and this may say something about politics... Most modern political dramas, they don't specify which party is which because they are interchangeable. I mean, you could look at those two. They honestly could be, couldn't they? They could be Labour or they could be Tory.
They were Labour. They were definitely Labour. It's partly I shouldn't say this, an LSE, the LSE father. I liked him a lot, but he was there. The sort of political ruthlessness of the couple. They just did not seem to have causes and crusades. This is my opportunity to change this. And everything was very conditional.
Well, I think that's the point Paula Milne is making, because there's a very powerful speech, isn't there, where somebody says, the character played by Ed Stoppard, who is the thrusting person, other person wants to be Prime Minister, he says if we gave half the energy to the actual issues that we give to Westminster politics, we might actually solve them.
The way I could sometimes think about it is, what are you prepared to live for? What are you prepared to die for? And for some of these characters, it seems to be personal ambition.
Or resign for.
I took a bit of time to wake up to its leadership, but I thought it was a matter of principle.
Sir Peter Bottomley and Baroness Bottomley of Nettleston, The Politician's Husband, starts tonight at 9 p.m. on BBC Two.